Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Paul's letter to the Philippians was written at the end of his life, probably from Rome. Initially, he was imprisoned under house arrest. And when he was able, under guard, he would meet with others and preach the good news. Acts closes with these words. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Now, there was evidently a further trial. Paul writes to Timothy saying, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them." So there was at least another time where he had to offer a defense, another trial. And it seems that at some stage, his house arrest was ended. And Paul was incarcerated in the Carcere Mamertino, Carcere Mamertino, a prison near the Roman Forum. Tradition has it that both he and Peter were martyred on the same day, the 29th of June, 64 AD. Paul knows his days are numbered. He is held a prisoner. As he wonders whether he will live or die, and you can find his meditation, his reflections on that in the letter of Philippians. As he wonders whether he will live or die, he writes to encourage a Christian community born out of chains. It was in Philippi, 10 years earlier, that Paul and Silas had sung hymns in the high security unit of the city jail, when following an earthquake, the cell doors had sprung open and the governor feared the inmates had escaped. About to fall on his sword, Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." How remarkable. Nobody had attempted to escape. The jailer instead fell on his knees before Paul and Silas, asking, "What must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." That night, the jailer took Paul and Silas to his home, and he and all his household were baptized. He tended to their wounds and set a meal before them. Paul had been in prison many times. In such places, he found that there too the Lord is near, and he took every opportunity to share the good news. Even though he was chained like a criminal, he wrote to his son in the faith, to Timothy, in his second letter to Timothy and his very final letter. He wrote to Timothy saying, "Even though I am chained like a criminal, God's word is not chained." Paul then was placed on death row. No one came out of the Mamertino. During the brutal reign of Nero, Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. With no evidence, the emperor Nero made Christians into scapegoats as he looked for someone to blame for the great fire that had caused so much damage to the imperial city, and many Christians were brutally murdered. So when Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters," and exhorts them to focus on the positive, not only is he concluding his letter to the Philippians, they will not receive another. The final chapter of his life is being written. Finally, brothers and sisters. Given all this, how remarkable is it that he says to them, "Do not be anxious about anything." And he speaks about the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guarding our hearts and minds. To offer such advice at such a time beggars belief. Yet this is what he wrote. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Well, faced with what lay ahead for Paul, had it been me, I can't imagine writing any such words. But Paul was focused on something or someone. The words of Jesus, which were read to us by Rachel from the Gospel, speak to us on this Remembrance Sunday evening of the importance of living selflessly. "We would like to see Jesus," the Greek seekers said to Philip. Possibly they approached Philip because, well, he had a Greek name. And Philip went to tell Andrew, another one with a Greek name. And together they told Jesus. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." And soon Jesus will say something similar also about sacrifice when to his disciples at his farewell discourses he says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Now, because of the risk of suicide in prison and the need to have a suicide prevention policy, chaplains in prison rarely preach on these texts, or when they do so with great care, as indeed they must be used. Let us be clear. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Here, there is a dichotomy in Jesus' way of thinking. Either we live with me at the center and everything revolves around that, or we give that up, we surrender it, and live with service to God and others at the heart of what we are about. The first me, me, me approach will end up with nothing, with all being lost, whereas the other selfless approach leads to life in abundance. The Greek seekers found in Jesus one who was ready to give his all, not only for his own people, but for them and their people, and indeed for all the peoples of the world. I wonder if when you're making coffee or tea, and we might find out find this out in a little while. I wonder if you stir your coffee vigorously, as maybe you're trying to dissolve some sugar, or just to make sure the mix of milk and or coffee and water, or tea and water is good. And as you do that, you can see a mini whirlpool right before your eyes. It's the same when you pull the plug out the sink. The water forms a vortex as it drains away. There are a number of whirlpools off the west coast of Scotland. I was once out in a fishing boat beside the Garvalachs, a group of small islands south of Oban, with my friend Lackey, who sailed out of Ling. Lackey maneuvered his boat as close as possible so we could land on Holy Island, but there's no jetty there, so we had to jump and then scramble up the rocks. It was worth it. You can still see on this holy isle the remains of the cells built like beehives that Columba and his monks stayed in for a while before they moved on to Iona. Lackey, who fished for clams for his living, knew where the whirlpools were, including the mighty Corrie Vrekken between the islands of Jura and Scarba, the third largest whirlpool in the world, capable of generating a mix of water some 30 feet high. Corrie Vrekken might hold a small boat for hours, like he told us, or worse, take her down into the depths of the sea. Now, I don't know what kind of music you like. I like listening to a band called Keen, described as alternative rock. They have a song from their album Perfect Symmetry called Spiraling. And here's a few words of theirs. Now we're tumbling down, they say. We're spiraling. And the sound of the music as they sing these words, it tumbles too from high notes to deep bass, mimicking the action of a spiral. Tumbling, spiraling down. There's a kind of centrifugal force at work sometimes that can be hard to break away from. There are things that can drag us down. Maybe we don't notice it at first. We think we're in control until suddenly we're tumbling. Like being critical of others, or always looking back, or simply doing our own thing. Things can catch up with us, and we feel it's hard to break out of behaviors we don't wish to have in our lives. It's hard to break away. Now, the prophet Jonah, as we know, was thrown into the sea, and the tale tells us he dwelt inside the belly of a great fish for 3 days. From where, he said, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me from the depths. I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. But you brought my life up from the depths, O Lord my God. Salvation comes from the Lord. Now, spirals work both ways. There are upward spirals that we can be a part of too. And this good and positive force does not harm us. Indeed, it doesn't force us at all. But if we freely choose it, we will be lifted up and built up in our inner selves, in self-esteem and confidence. The more we are a part of what is good, the better we become. Every kind and generous attitude enlarges our souls. Every caring and considerate action not only helps those who are on the receiving end, but such things bring positive good to the giver as well. They allow us to inhabit the dignity that is God's gift to every human being. by giving our time and focusing our attention upon that which is good, we allow ourselves to grow as persons, to widen our vision, and to reach out for true potential. The more we do these things, the more we are drawn upwards in a great spiral of love, which invites us to be whose indeed we are. So we can halt the downward spirals and let the upward spiral take hold by hearing and knowing in our hearts the message that we are loved. It is the good news of Jesus, who was lifted to new life, which, when we allow that to shape our lives, lifts us up and leads us into a bright new future. How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God. That is what we are. Everyone is tempted. Jesus himself was. We can't be held to account for thoughts that come unbidden into our minds, but we can choose to dwell on them or to dismiss them, to feed them or to let them wither on the vine by shifting our attention to better things. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Amen. We sing.